Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and I begin with verse 11. So Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and beginning with verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now we'll be thinking about the healing of these 10 lepers, and our subject this morning is from gratitude to spiritual life. We move from gratitude to spiritual life. One of the amazing things of God's dealings with us is that how he brings us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ may be through varied and varying ways. How to be saved, to really become a Christian, must always come through coming to realize my sinfulness, abandoning any self-admiration, any good in myself, so that I may look to Christ only and what he did for sinners. That's how we are saved, how we are brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we come to this point? How do I come to realize what a sinful person I am? How do I come to realize what a person of need, somebody possessing nothing except the grace that I will need in the Lord? How are we brought to that point? The Lord uses all kinds of ways. Some people are brought to that through illness, some by hearing the testimony of somebody's conversion, others by reading the scriptures for themselves, others through some other tragedy in life. Then they come to that realization. But one of the most beautiful ways is when the Lord brings me to my realization of him through gratitude, a sense of debt. And that's what we want to think about. And this is very close. All that I've spoken about may not be your case. You may not have any serious tragedy. There may be some along life's pathway, who knows. But gratitude, something to be thankful for, is close to everybody. Everybody has something he can be grateful for. And if you could start from there, our subject and my concern this morning is to show, if we start from there, it will bring me to the Lord. And I will try to show why. The only person who came out and said, "Ya yefi and simu eba and kofu fromu iradi Yesu Kristo mo ne ya kase." Kwaya iradi diem ba maybe who said say me ya diboye ni amihiya say iradi aya mifufro ne di. Onam kwaya ahudu nina so seme be iradi di dia. Adiye ba kwaya ba kope na me iradi di. Seme ba be who said ya me ya diboye ni. Na me to be beer, imagine me say, a young one, a year for a mere mimo, but tuning in our chin because a yellow crab, a nada, Satan, another, maybe no, a main hunting uncle Paul, meaning a free ho, the new radius with some quan say near me yano. But the enemy never sad to be ano. A radiant to me, I'm quite a hood doing in us. You see, be a heart, if you're young, can she be accident to be an answer to be a young couple in our banning chain, and as a one and all King Kind Bible. If you move being a radiant bones, a set or a devoy any power here, radius a pistol. You see, dear, making in us say a year, I can she be a busy. And now say, be an enemy crown making kind scripture, and I get a cavano. A be an enemy, you move be a end, so a movie answer. But remember, could be over here, Yenina, Jabit Mia Sasha, and any dear friend Darcy, Minya Kuma, who said there, or the young Copanka, and any young person who come on a crack and okay. So, friends, I'm considering this within the time we have. But I want to look at verse 11 there, because even this tells us something about the Lord. Verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. If you knew the map, the lay of the various cities, you would think that this is a kind of a difficulty, because if the Lord Jesus Christ it wants to go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem lies in the south, at least south, Samaria in the middle, Galilee in the north. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to Jerusalem and Samaria is mentioned first, then you think he simply goes south, isn't it? But if you look at the text, he goes to Galilee. And before he would have fetched a compass around Jordan and then may have come to Jerusalem. You see, so some of these things are things that the Bible puts there so that you see something about the Lord himself. Because if I can illustrate, I don't know much about Accra, all the places in Accra. But just imagine that somebody is somewhere around Achimota. Achimota will be somewhere here, isn't it? Most of you know Accra, I don't know what they see out there. But anyway,
So some of the towns here, they are like typhoid, something like that. Because people, when they say typhoid, they point this way. So I'm also trying. If I'm wrong, you forgive me. So somebody somewhere here, in typhoid, somewhere here. And he says, I want to go to Accra. I want to go to what they call Accra. And he heads northward. But you say, sir, you've lost your way, isn't it? You move south. But that's what the Lord did. He's coming to Accra proper. And he goes further north. Why? Often the Lord does this because he has a ministry there. He simply wants to go and bless somebody. As it is around Galilee that he would have met these people. The exact village we are not told, but right, Galilee is mentioned, the place where the Lord met these 10 lepers are shown. And so you see, the Lord, souls are so precious to him. To bless needy souls are so important to him. Even if his movement will seem hazy and unclear, he will still pursue that. Because he wants to bless the soul. And so bless these persons. So he comes to this village, most likely in Galilee, to meet these 10 lepers here. And so, in verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. These persons were lepers. In those days, leprosy was incurable. If you became leprous, you knew you would die. You would die a painful death because all your senses would die out and your body would begin to rot away, and in a very deep pain, then you pass away. You knew there was no cure. And so the instruction was that if you had leprosy, you have to stay far away from the crowd. And so we are told that these persons were standing far away. And this is where they could be. If they dared come into the city, the instructions given to Moses is that when they came into the city, they should cry aloud and say, I'm a leper, I'm a leper. So that everybody would stay away from them for fear of contagion, transferring it to other persons. And so that was the Lord's provision. And so we understand why these persons were standing afar off. But the surprise is this, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew that this disease is not curable. Why did they cry to the Lord to have mercy on them? Most likely, they would have heard something of the Lord. They must have heard about the miracles that the Savior does, and that's what gave them the courage. Otherwise, if you knew there was no cure, why call a man to help you, you see? And so, they called on the Lord. And we are told that the Lord responded. Verse 14, how did the Lord respond? And when he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Go, show yourselves unto the priests. This is another marvel of the Lord's doing. He didn't touch them. He didn't lay his hand on them. He didn't even bring them closer to himself. He simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. Why to the priest? Because in those days, according to the arrangements that God had given to the people of Israel, only the priest could declare you clean and therefore allow you into the community. If the priest doesn't declare you clean, you didn't have the permission to go into the city. And so the priest was given the skill. In fact, the law of Moses explains that in the book, those books of Moses. The kind of thing the priest would be looking out for as he looked on your skin and looked at these things that have come over your skin. And it was the priest only who could declare you clean. And simply they must go and show that to the priest. And we are told in the second part of that verse, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. This is a wonder, once again. This is a distant miracle, if you like. No contact at all by the Lord. As they were going, lo and behold, the incurable disease simply departed from their skins. All of them were cleansed. So you could not say this is a kind of a coincidence or anything. All the 10 were cleansed as they went. And then one of them, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I will speak a little more about that verse later. But at least one of them acknowledged, saw what the Lord has done and wanted to give thanks. And you will soon see when I come to verse 19 that the Lord said that there was something of faith, a saving faith in that act of the man, which I would dwell a little on that. But now, let's think about this gratitude of this man, how grateful he was. And I wonder whether we are grateful people.
whether we are thankful people for the things that we receive. Dear Mika, I am sincere. Let's thank God for the radius of Christ of Him. Odu Galilee no, Oshie di mama wo village di. Na mu ye ten ya wonyi na ewo kwata na. Ebiyan himself kwata nso oni edru at the time. So see how they drew over. But the radius of Christ of time, they ne edru ni ho. Into so wonya kwata pe oni himself bewo. It says that we will say, "Aye, wa, aye, ya." It's not said. Unhunam no, ebe te ting kakran kakrasa kudi sobe wo. It is unya kwatano. Wa unim said the air train one is said that obe wo. Nan so sangro foye de. Bro, mu huni radi Yesu Kristo no mu ti mu friend. Ni ase. Omu yesa. Ebe tmiya. It's not said. No mu ati de radi Yesu Kristo aye pe. Ni ase anka. Yariya unim sobi antu min sangro yareno. Ube de no afri bi krasa ome boa. Into mu friend. Na Eradi Yesu Kristo kache so mun ko mun fo mun kache software no na bro mun ko no wo hu esani ho yare no ekoye ade ntina mun enko mun software isan se ono nko samre no ono no obema okwan na wahwe wo yade an kwata no akase ekọ nti betimi akọ society mu dio nti mun ko no na mun se mu yare no ekọ ibise ho se ba ko no ba ye bada se. You know, every one of us has something that we are debtors for. Sometimes the trouble is we don't think about that. Have we been thankful for life, for example, that we live? Have we been thankful for the advantages that we have? Usually, we take things for granted. Are you intelligent? That's in anything. You know, somebody may not be that intelligent in one thing, but maybe very intelligent in another. And are you thankful? Usually, it puffs us up. We become proud. And so, one of the things, do you remember years ago, please, I'm not a huge fan of football, but when they are making the noise, we all have ears who listen. Anyway, but remember the time when they were doing, some of you were a bit older, there was a time they were doing this thing on television. They were calling it Sports Academy. It was some years ago. It was one of the TV stations that was running that. It was an academy where young persons went. They gave them some training and tried to polish them up. Some of them had exposure, so they had a bigger contract elsewhere. But this is why I'm telling this. As part of the training, they would call in a person to try and speak to them. So they called a man who is a commentator in the English football. And so they brought him down to speak to them. And when he was speaking to them, this is what struck me at the time. I didn't know why I was listening to that day. This is what he said. Well, you need to be disciplined. You need to work hard. You need to focus on your game. Don't worry about money. And you know, all these general counsels. And then he said this. He said, then, after it all, you need a bit of a luck. You know why he said that? You need a bit of a luck. That's how he puts it, but we understand it better. But that's what he understood. Why luck? Because you can be the best footballer and be locked away somewhere in a village nobody knows you. You need a bit of a luck, something to bring you to the eyes of people, something perhaps you didn't work it out. Everybody has something in his life he didn't know how. Some advantage, if you were humble, you would say, I didn't know why. This is my portion. Sadly, the moment you get it, you say, well, I think I'm a wonderful person. Oh, my dear friends, everybody has something that if you were to think carefully, you would say, why was it me? If it is bad, we all say, why me, isn't it? But when it's wonderful, we don't say, why me? Why did it come to me? I knew twins. In fact, I have two of these experiences, these persons in Cape Coast. Twins. One of them, I knew he was working in a cafeteria, this internet cafes. I don't know whether he's still around, but some time ago, he was working in this internet cafe. And eventually, he did all kinds of things, and we were told he's gotten a bigger job somewhere, things like that. And then I was shown his twin brother. His twin brother is almost a deaf person. And what struck me was that, well, this young man one day say, why was I not my other brother? Everybody has something to be thankful for. Are you? Are you a grateful person? You are in the university.
Oh, why were you not locked away? Why were you not given birth by some poor village, distant village farmer, whom all he can do, the best he can do for you, is to train you how to carry charcoal from the village to the next village? Why? You think you deserve that? You think when you were in your mother's room, you told mommy, mommy, you know, ask for me, bring me up in the city. Did you do that? No. Why did it fall to you? Everybody, even that distant village person, will still have some advantages, you know. God in mercy. This is one of the amazing things of God. Everyone, it doesn't matter where you are. He's made sure there's something you can be grateful for. It doesn't matter where you are. Especially, and I will explain more later, if you would try to see what thankfulness, what gratitude is meant to do for you, then you will realize how true it is that wherever you are, whatever circumstances you are in, there are things you can be thankful for. Bibieniwa obi awote bibimwa bibio obetumi adenya nkopoa so betumi akase we die se bibienya kra we nkwa die eyamfase bi mamipa. Because you know why? The Bible says that God, let me let you read that passage there. That's in Acts chapter 14. Listen to these words of the apostle. Because they are gone to a place where they are idolaters and they don't even see any, they don't see God at all in their mercies. And this is what the apostle Paul speaking to them said. Acts of the Apostles chapter 14 and verse 17. This is the apostle Paul speaking. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. It's referring to God. That God left not himself without witness. How? In that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God had given him, shown himself that he is there and that he's the one we owe by giving us these things. These mercies, things we have no power over, and things that simply serve our advantage, and they come from his hand. Well, like this man, health and vigor. You may be very a healthy person, and yet you think, well, I take good care of myself and all this. Well, of course you should take good care of yourself, but there are some people who do all they can, and yet they have a very poor health. My dear friends, God has left you a witness, something to speak to you, that I am here, and you owe me something. Iradeje bibi obi abrebu mochene se, oyankopo waha se, na wudinika. And I wonder whether you pay attention to that. But let me even push the matter further. The trouble is, we don't even know how to give thanks. People think, if I simply say, oh, I thank you, God. They say that, they think that's okay. I'm giving God thanks. Because you know something, really very sinful people as we are, even when we are saying, you know, thank God. Well, he's graduated. You know how people put it today? I did my best and God did the rest. Have you heard that? It's a popular statement now. I did my best, and God did the rest. Well, if a thankful person wouldn't put it that way. How do we give thanks? It's more than simply saying, well, I thank you, Lord. Because when the person is saying that, he's applauding himself who's in his heart. How do we give thanks? And this is why you will see that we are so far from being a truly thankful people. Because if we learn how to give thanks properly, the Lord Jesus Christ shows, it will bring me to spiritual life. So how do we give thanks? Look at the man and how he did it. Yeah, then he didn't ask him a young coupon. And he has a young son, he said, so he didn't ask him a young coupon. He didn't ask him a young coupon. So he didn't ask him a young coupon. Look at what this man was so striking. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. The Lord Jesus had told him to go to the priest. Why did he turn back? The fact that he returned was acknowledged by the Lord that it was a good thing he did. Look at verse 18. There was not found that return to give glory to God. So it was a wonderful thing he did. What does that teach? Why did he return? The very moment the miracle occurred, the man said, no, the first person I must see is the one who did it. The first person I must see, not the priest, but the man who did it. A grateful person at once says, is this the Lord who did it? He must have the priority. He must have the first place. I must go to him. He must be number one. Gratitude will let you want to put God first. Ingratitude say, let me just sprinkle a little verbal thanks to God and give attention to myself and how I can enjoy that thing. So you see, that's the first thing about gratitude. Ebema gimi se enye se sanya nkopono ye sane odikan mi hu se ampa se no no wodi sa faso ya ma mepe enne na na jin beba mitri mekan. God will have the first place. Another thing, it's so beautiful, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was, he turned back and with a loud voice, you say, sir, who healed you? Only one person. And you see him there, the man standing there, the Lord Jesus Christ standing there. Why? Will it not have been fitting if this man simply walked close to the Lord and then went to him and said, Lord, thank you very much, and then perhaps fell at his feet or something? Why shout? Why at the top of his voice? The Bible didn't record that for nothing. Because this man want everybody to realize, please, don't look at me. Don't say, what's happened to you? Look at that man there. Look at that man. He is the one that must be seen. A truly grateful heart would never draw attention to himself. Would never draw attention to anything he does. A truly grateful person says, every glory belongs to God. Every honor is his. He alone must be looked up to and trusted and believed. He only, when people draw attention to themselves, they show how ungrateful they are. They're stealing away something that belongs to God alone. Or he came with sense of the so be on the sign and go pon yo yen on kwan as a so be on huno. And it's the same be any cramp ever or not so. But sir, Papa no jina for no. A grateful heart. This is why the Lord said that he did not return to give glory to God, because he alone must be glorified. Gratitude, my dear friends, is a very rich thing. Another thing, you see how deep it is? Gratitude. So it makes me put God first. It makes me not bring any attention to self, because I realize I have nothing, because all my benefits have come from the Lord. And the verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. In fact, verse 19 would tell us that this man lay down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Lord Jesus Christ said, arise. He laid at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is always in scripture language of humility. In a sense that I am worthless. I am nothing. My dear friends, genuine gratitude melts you down. And so do you stand before your benefactor as somebody who has nothing and who knows he has nothing, only a dependent creature. Please understand this. You will soon see how this lays the foundation for salvation. A sense that I owe this God. All my benefits have come from him. He deserves the first place. Every eye must see him alone. And I myself must humble myself under his feet. If somebody is beginning to feel this way towards the Lord, would you be surprised if he comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, you wouldn't. And so you see that gratitude is a wonderful thing. And the Bible adds another detail. It's not given up for nothing, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself will mention that to verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself will highlight this again. Remember verse 18. There are no found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And so why? Why that detail given to us? Samaritans were at grudge with the Jews. Everybody was proud. No one would submit to the other. Jews were saying, hey, we are Abraham's descendants, and we are the ones whom the prophets were sent. So you, if you don't come to us, your worship is not genuine. Samaritans are saying, well, you have corrupted your worship. And we have the things that are with us. So we would never bow to a Jew. So there was this kind of rift between them. And this is the Samaritan prejudice against the Jew. The Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew, everybody knew. He comes to lay at his feet. He tells him all his prejudices are melted away. Gratitude. You know that God uses that? People that are prejudiced and say, is there God? Is there any caring God? If only they would pause and think about the present advantages they have, that prejudice would melt away. Ebinwa adwuma mo sɛ ne nyankopɔn bi kora wɔ ɛdɛn tena me nko ara deɛ maberɛ bɔ yɛse saa ma ɔka sɛ onya mmerɛ ne wadwee ahummɔborɔ deɛ nyankopɔn de ma no kakra no a nkyɛ saa adwene ma no ɛtia nyankopɔn no kora bɛhyɛ ase sɛ ɛnane ɛfiri hɔ but if gratitude is a powerful thing so I ask you again have you truly been grateful have you really been grateful to God I dare you have not until you are converted. I dare you have never been truly grateful until you are saved. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us this. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Because it's rare. 1 out of 10. It's rare. And the Bible tells us to say, great son. People thinking gratitude is, it's not that terrible. We don't often do that in the gospel service because we want it to be straightforward. But let me just read you 2 passages and you see how serious ingratitude is. And I'm going first of all to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And you know that in verse 18, the Bible tells us that God is angry with these things, the wrath of God is revealed. First line, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And then you come to verse 21, and it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ingratitude is a sin against God and leads to other sins of foolish, proud self-satisfaction. It makes people very proud thinking they have their own solutions. After all, they don't have to depend on any God because they don't sense their need of Him. So it makes them vain in their imaginations. They cannot think aright. And so even when they think themselves wise, they become fools. Because they do not know the God to measure up to, you see. And then if you can't get to that quickly, I'll read that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul speaks about this also. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he's talking about the terrible lifestyle that would come when as the years run on and we are getting closer to the coming of the Lord. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me start from verse 1 so you see the context a bit more clearly. This know also that in the last days perilous and dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. Covetous is money lovers. They will become lovers of money. And you can see that in our time, isn't it? Boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, now watch it, unthankful, unholy. It runs along with unholiness. An ungrateful heart can never be a holy person. Holiness means I'm set apart for God. How can he be set apart for God when he has no sense of debt? He feels no debt toward God. We not say he doesn't say it. He doesn't sense it. A debt toward God. My dear friends, have we been grateful people? Yeah,
edime ba sati bi munse sanya nkupon we esese onya bia edi kain afen so esese odime ba sati bi na mecha si munse ensese medie nyenya bia memme ko sanya nkupon ko na esese bia kuno so bi hu advantage sa wo ma brebo mo e mo won eni emba me so omunna nkase sanya nkupon bi actually wo ma bro. Do you know, we even say this, we say that, and it's good for us, it's good for preachers to tell, remind people that, we say that you don't even say, oh, what a wonderful preacher. You say, God helped that preacher today. So that all eyes must go to the Lord, all eyes must go to Him. And meaning us to say, come and change. I think it's the same man. Maybe to irradi anani ase. Ebre mi ase ewe ne nini. Nama agin biya ewe mitrimia ense nyanko pono. Ati wa musha ase se enani. Those thoughts we form merely because we expected life in some way. It didn't come that way. So we form all these ideas about God. If I am a grateful person, they will melt. But friends, how does it lead to faith? Look at what the Lord said. So verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were then not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And then the Lord now addresses the man. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. How does faith come to gratitude? Because friends, it's so easy. If I truly, genuinely know that my benefits have come from the Lord, and I'm not just saying it, and I have felt that my benefits have come from the Lord indeed, that's the seed of faith. To see God in my benefits. To see me set aside in my benefits. To see that I must lay at God's feet because of my benefits is the seed of faith. Me who say I'm coming and waiting in our friends, some said I'm man and nine makumano. If we did him to me, but and then something amazing must happen. The very moment you hear about the dying love of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, it melts you to nothing. It melts you to absolutely nothing. You say, I am a debtor to Him for these mercies. My ability to study, my strength, my health, these advantages I have in life. And look, all these are not enough for Him, as David said. All these are not enough for this God. He came down from heaven to go to the cross of Calvary also, to bear the penalty for sin. Friend, it's so overwhelming. It's so appalling. I was struggling to find an illustration and none can fit it. I can only begin to approach it a little. Can I attempt? Imagine you were stranded in a certain town. You traveled there, perhaps looking for a friend. Couldn't find him. Your phone is run out of power. You can call him, you can contact him. You are alone. It's now getting to about 10 p.m. You are in this community. You do not know anybody there. And you're beginning to fear. Where are you going to sleep? What are you going to do? And somebody comes along. And he kindly says, well, sir or lady, what's the problem? So, well, I'm stranded over at this place and I really don't know anybody here. And the person, oh, okay. Well, I can give you a place to sleep if you don't mind. So I'll be so thankful. Because you follow this person and he gives you a place, a warm, or if it's a cold season, a warm place, or air-conditioned room, if it's a hot time. And he gives you a nice meal for the night and a nice bedding, a neat room to sleep there. And so you'd be thankful, wouldn't you? Very thankful. You don't know him at all. And you begin to say, but why did he show me that kindness? And then you look at yourself, you're a young lady. Well, is it because he wants to marry me?
Oh.
But the person who did the kindness was a lady. So marriage is out. Or maybe I can be a good friend and he sees me and I'm an attractive person that could be very friendly. Oh, you look, you peer into the window and you have the number of nice friends there. They were talking warmly. So you aren't really special to him or her. So he tried to struggle. Why did he show me that kindness he couldn't find? And then the next day he gives you money enough to travel back home. When you got home, he calls you on the phone and said, "Lady, or gentleman, you know, that house where you slept in, I'm giving that to you. It's yours. Come for the keys." So, please, what do you mean? Say that again. Please, what do you mean? Do you know me? Are we of the same family? Where's your background? I want to find out whether he's an uncle, a hidden uncle. So, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. A total stranger. You think this will be melting, isn't it? Oh, this is nothing at all. I am indebted to all these benefits from the Lord, and he comes to offer me himself. The Lord of glory now comes in person. Not only material benefit, he comes personally. And he goes to the cross of Calvary to bear my shame, my debt. All my foolish things are done against him. All my ingratitude to bear all that. You see how gratitude lays the foundation? If that comes home to you, how easy it will be to say, "This Lord will be my Lord. The Savior will be my Savior." Gratitude, if we know how truly to practice it, which let us see how much we are dependent upon the Lord. Humble us and let this love on Calvary's cross feel so moving and so melting. So listen to the Savior. Verse 19 again. "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." If you're ready to Christ catch on, it's on sorry, no on come the all corner crab. Nijidye. Ajin and yes, dear na emma and na sini jidi cromo etimishia. But in your wonder, Sakumano, or shall someone say nothing in our twin uncle ponche and parampara? Sanda Sakumano, on who say, is answer which are saying uncle poiny be a de kind. A brenos of a man per se or de no wishy radias senior, ne first thing in our twin in chamber. Nothing so. Emmanuel Tuchini, a dream be our friend, young Copon in our point one. And because I prayed here, who passed and in first swing in our young Copon one chair, neighbor. Now, a human popon shas in sedium here, young Copon. Now, Fedia said, "Cobay said, on whose son, young Copon, we answer. I feed your one cassa is sunny, Abedin Pomuse. Now, I bear, sir, a juma cassia and say between your bonnet fit. Fetcher, if we young Copon, and then our Fofroa, and yet didn't man so the train. Do you remember there was that blind person? I think this man was a cripple. And the Lord Jesus Christ had healed this man. When the Lord had healed him, he went away. Remember that man? So he went away. And so the Pharisees came to this man, and they were trying to dissuade him from believing that the one who did it was the Messiah or anything like that. And so when they had done whatever they couldn't succeed, the man didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so next time the Lord Jesus Christ met him, and after speaking to him, he said that, I'm paraphrasing the words now. Now, if you knew the Messiah, or if you knew the one who blessed you, what would you do? The man said, "I will believe in him. I will believe in him. Show me who he is, and I will believe him. He's received benefit already, and so he's so made prone to believe." If I'm a grateful person, reflecting upon the goodness of the Lord, it keeps the heart so low and so humble that the very moment you see the Lord who did this, you would want to believe it. In fact, your sins will feel so painful. One of the reasons why we harden in sin is because we are ungrateful people. So our sins don't feel that heavy on us. We treat it lightly. If we're to know the one to whom we have sinned against, did I do this against the Lord, my benefactor, the one from whom all my goodness have come? Dear friend, it's so moving. And it makes us lie at his feet. In Asia Komano, Ebema Uboni Tianyan Kopon, I drupa Utibuaso. Me a Sadia Tiasayan Kopon way. I never came my Utimu Koso Ewa Sodimo. Na Enfire Mukasikasane say, Ayana, and Yemise Medisayan Kopon no crack. But once you say it, your sins will be so heavy upon you, my dear friends. And if my sins feel so heavy upon me, and his love on Calvary seems so admirable and wonderful, of course, you see where you are going. You will surely repent of sin, and you will surely trust him, my dear friends. So we give this counsel always to people. You find it, some people are very honest. Well, because as part of the pastoral work you deal with people, some people are very honest. They tell you, Pastor, I understand the gospel. My trouble is, I think I'm in love with the sin. And I really don't want to stop. I really want to continue in it. Some people are very, of course, you don't want them to mention that specific thing to you, because they must tell that to the Lord alone. But I mean, they tell you that I'm in love with sin. And I don't want to stop it. They are very sincere. If you make some catchphrase, the only one didn't come out. Metias for them, be mommy, bonny, be mom. The main person, me, Jay, some say, yeah, me, there. Some people will tell you, it benefits me, it gives me that, and it gives me that too. It allows this and this to go on. And I love it. And our counsel often goes on these lines. Ponder the one to whom you sin against. Think of that. Think of his goodness to you. Think of how much. Never think yourself a clever person. Don't think you can escape him. It's only because he's patient. And so be amazed. Stand amazed. Is he patient? When you have committed a sin the next time, look up to heaven and say, so he saw me. He saw me do this against him. He saw me, he heard me say this against him, and he didn't do anything. And be amazed. And then think of his power. What could he have done? What could he have done? And then, friends, gradually you begin to tremble in that sin. You begin to fear. You begin to be anxious. You begin to be worried. And friends, one of the most beautiful things that brings us to genuine repentance is gratitude. Though the fear of God may bring a person to genuine repentance, it does happen. But one of the most beautiful means to repentance is gratitude. So it's not fear, but merely a sense of debt. If gratitude moves me to repentance, it exposes pride so clearly. You doubt not at all, Lord, I am such a foolishly proud person to have done this against you. And in spite of all thy goodness to me, often gratitude is a powerful thing. And I say, Ewo to me be, and may you be a bonny said ye, a yehufa. Na emeye ben yankopon chen ni tre biano boni enti tune se unhuni yankopon kuna uye chenin. Let me just say this before I close. I have just a little time now. And it's very important because I want you to understand this very clearly, my dear friends. Everybody knows that there are some things Christians don't do, don't we? Everybody will say, oh, a Christian shouldn't do this, a Christian shouldn't do this, things like that. And everybody knows things that Christians should be doing, isn't it? A Christian, no? So even in an office or someplace, somebody says, oh, well, you're not a Christian, why are you doing this? Something like that. So people have some ideas what a Christian should do and what he should not do. But what they don't know, that some of the things that they talk about, somebody doing it or not doing it, somebody can be doing it or not doing it, and you're not be a Christian. He doesn't go after women, he's not drinking, he's giving gifts to people, he goes to church every Sunday, he always has a Bible, as big as the pulpit Bible with him. Everybody knows him, and see this kind of thing. People don't know that people can do this without being Christians. Why? I can give a number, but one thing is so wonderful to check it all. One thing. Because you can find somebody who does these things and doesn't do these things because he thinks, oh God, look at these things and admire me. I'm a wonderful person. See, look at my office. Everybody does, I don't do it. Everybody doesn't do this, I do it. And since I'm a special person, cursed are you. That Almighty God should admire you and I. You must look at my good works and say, applause, applause, come to heaven. Foolishness. Such a person isn't a Christian, even if he names the name of the Lord. So what's the difference, my dear friends? Yes, a Christian will do those things. A Christian will not do those things. Why? Out of gratitude to God. Out of gratitude. I am a debtor. I am his. He died to purchase me. May my life count for him. Not because I'm using this to get credit. This will be foolish. This will be sinful. This will be a crime. He saved me by grace, and I am his. And I don't do this because I don't want to dishonor the one whom I owe everything. You see how powerful gratitude is? The day the Savior saves you, you will stand that upon your soul. You wouldn't do things because you think it gives you special credit, special favor. You would do them as a debtor. I owe this God. And friends, you'll be amazed. That is why Christians can be so committed, so careful, so strict, and yet they feel inadequate. That's what gratitude is. If actually grateful to somebody, how much do you think you call enough? You see the miracle of Christianity? God stamps gratitude in the soul, friends. I don't have the time, I would have given you a number of examples in the Bible. What a powerful thing. I ask you, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? If you're not, ponder the God whom you sin against. Whenever another benefit comes to hand, think again. Has he shown you this kindness again? And you just last night I did that, last night I said that, last night I wasted that time doing that. And I can tell you, you wouldn't go far in your sin. It will always be checking you. Remember how much you owe. Your advantages when your friends are applauding you for having done well in that exam, your parents are praising you, and all these kind of things. Would you be like this man and say in your heart, no, 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 not me, mother, not me, dad. It's a God, the God who granted me these advantages. Would you behave that way? That you wouldn't be far from the kingdom of God. Then soon, you will begin to understand the love of the Savior on the cross of Calvary. It will knock you over. It will melt you down to nothing. And you will cry to him to save you. From that time, he will wash away your sins, change you, make you a new person. And you have an entirely different motivation for what you do. Not for credit, not for advantage, not for applause, but because you're a debtor to the Savior. Oh, my dear friends, come to the Lord. Seek that you are His. Be a grateful person. A grateful person is a happy person, because he sees some mercies of the Lord in everything around him. Oh, begin there. And let that bring you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, don't delay, don't continue in gratitude. Sin will grow, our sons will become hardened, especially the sin of pride. The foundation of pride is ingratitude. I am independent, I don't owe anybody, I am able to do this, I am adequate in myself, things like this. Then of course, the Lord will despise you. The Lord will simply snub you. You will never know him. You will never become his child. The best you can become is a hypocrite, a religious hypocrite. You go to church, talk religion, but your heart is in the Lord. Oh, don't let that happen. Come, my dear friends, come as a grateful soul who feels his debt at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ.